go a ways in it today. We've been moving along a little faster. You've been listening a little faster the last couple of lessons, maybe. And so we'll jump back into it. Studying it chapter by chapter and verse by verse. The last book in the Bible, but it's the key book to opening up the rest of the Bible because it shows you how everything concludes. When you know the conclusion of a thing, you can kind of understand the road as you travel toward it. And as you go from Genesis to Revelation, you find out what was started in Genesis is finished in Revelation. For instance, you got the tree of life in the book of Genesis. You find it again in the book of Revelation. You make a great big circle around on so many things. And the Bible is shallow enough, simple enough for a child to understand the key scriptures concerning salvation and the gospel. It's also complicated enough and deep enough nobody has ever mastered it all. And brother and I back here was talking a little bit this morning, a couple of little things, and I said, boy, we're going to have a tremendous Bible study when we get to heaven. Going to understand a lot of things we didn't understand here, but I tell you what you can do. You can accept them by faith and believe them. And I believe that pleases God. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. All right, chapter 15. Now remember here in chapter 14, we had the 144,000 show up again. These were those the Lord called out, Jews. We found out they were Jews in chapter 7 back here. And we find them again being used now in the midst of the tribulation period as God's evangelists. And we find in this period of time here that it's probably around the mid part, maybe a little bit toward the middle next to the end of the tribulation period. Now, you need to understand, we throw biblical words around, and a lot of folks don't know what they meant. I told my college class, when I first walked into a church, I was around 22 years old. Now, I'd been to church a time or two, at funerals, and even a vacation Bible school, and that sort of thing, but I didn't understand anything. I didn't know Revelation was the last book of the Bible. I mean, just didn't know much. You say, well, you were dumb. No, I graduated high school. Now, that don't mean I wasn't a dummy. There's a pile of them in public school that graduate anyhow. But I did all right as far as the public system went. But I didn't know anything about the gospel. I didn't go to church. No bus ministry in town was knocking on my door. And so that was another world. There's a lot of people out there living in another world compared to what we live in. You understand that? But I remember going to church. Of course, Sonia, when I asked her for a date, said the only place I'd go with you is church. And so I went. Thank God. Heard the gospel. Ultimately got saved. But anyway, I remember when they would sing the hymns, and they did used to sing the hymns in all the churches you went to. There was no rock bands on the platform. And none of the modern lingo you can't understand. So when I went in, I heard the same songs we sang around here. One I remember was at Calvary. Remember the song at Calvary? Now, I graduated high school. Here I come in, I sat in a church, and when they sang at Calvary, I wondered what they were talking about. Yeah. The only Calvary I knew was when I watched the shoot 'em ups on the movies, and the Indians had them pinned down, and somebody blew a trumpet, and here come the Calvary. And you laugh at that, but that's how dumb I was on the Bible. Some of you didn't laugh, because you may still be where I was, amen? Didn't understand that. Didn't understand that. So our terms need defining sometime. And when I say the tribulation period, if you've been going to an independent Baptist church with a half-decent preacher, you hear that word. You know, some of you that even catch a little nap while I'm preaching, you still can judge me a little bit. If you hear the word heaven, hell, tribulation period, second coming, well, he's preaching the gospel. You can almost listen out of one ear and tell if a man's preaching the gospel, can't you? You're going to hear those key words being used and used and repeated and repeated. Anyway, tribulation period is a period of time yet future. We believe it's 7 years long from the prophecies given in the book of Daniel. We know it's a time that God deals again in a special way with the nation of Israel. And right now, he's dealing with the church. We're in the church age, the grace age. When the trumpet sounds and the saved are called out, Then the clock starts to tick again with Israel. And for 7 years, God deals with the nation of Israel, which will culminate in the advent of Christ coming back, the real second coming, not the rapture of the church. That'll take place earlier. We'll get called out, 7 years of tribulation. Jesus comes back leading the armies of heaven at the end of the tribulation period. And by that time, there's going to be a big conversion in the nation of Israel. Now, a lot of them's going to be dead on the Antichrist. But the 144,000 will be used during that time. And please, the 144,000 is not a cult. It's not Jehovah's Witness. It's not Mormons. It's Jews. And the Bible plainly says 12,000 from 12 tribes. 144,000. Don't let anybody knock on your door and tell you anything different. That's solid biblical truth. So in the tribulation period is a time God deals with Israel. Jeremiah 30 verse 7 says it's the day of Jacob's trouble. It's a time that the Apostle Paul speaks of, that now in the church age, blindness in part has come to Israel. But that'll be a time when the time of the Gentiles has been finished, the time of the church age, and God deals with them again. That's why Paul says blindness in part. And today, a Jew can get saved just like a Gentile, and that's by trusting Christ as Savior. But as a nation, they don't recognize him as the Messiah that he is. But one day they'll recognize him. And the trouble is, they got a lot of pain to go through before that happens. And that's what we've been studying here now in these chapters. We had the mark of the beast in chapter 13. We have the 144,000 in chapter 14. Now we're going to start chapter 15. But to kind of get our foundation setting again, let me make a few statements about where we're at on the time chart of the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation gives us pictures. For instance, you have the second coming of Christ pictured three times. You'll have the tribulation trip through the tribulation period pictured three times. If you want to write them down, I've got a note here inside my Bible. I'll give you the references on them. There's three pictures of the second coming. Now, we're talking about the second coming when he comes back and takes over and sets up his kingdom. Three pictures of that. It's at the end of chapter 6, verses 12 through 17. That's one picture. Second picture is Revelation chapter 11, 13 through 16. That's the second picture. Third picture is Revelation 14. We just finished 18 through 20. We're coming to that time that the Lord comes back, and he comes back in wrath. He doesn't come back as the meek and mild Jesus that you see asking the little children to be free to come to him. But this is a coming back in judgment with our eyes of flame of fire. One of the ladies gave me a wonderful picture this week. Somebody's painted as the Lord may appear, coming back on the white horse of heaven with eyes of fire. It's a tremendous thing to see. And it will be a tremendous thing to see. So three trips through the Revelation showing us the second coming. Also, three pictures are trips through the tribulation. One trip is under the seals, chapters 5, 6, and 7. Second trip is under the trumpets, chapters 8, 9, and 10. The third trip, which we just saw again here, is under the Antichrist, chapter 11, chapter 12, chapter 13. It's in 13 that we hear about his mark and his number. And now we're starting chapter 11, 12, 13, and 14. Now we're about to start in chapter 15, and we're going to have the final trip through the tribulation under the vials. Now, a vial, we think about a laboratory with a vial, but a vial is basically a bottle with a big bottom end on it that comes up to a slim neck and top. You understand what they are. A little bit like a Coca-Cola bottle, but not the same. But you see the mad scientist in the laboratory brewing up something in a vial. You've all seen that on the movies for sure, TV. But anyway, this is a trip now through the vials. Now, the vials contain some things. It's going to contain the plagues that God's wrath is going to be poured out. And so it's symbolic here in showing that God is dealing with planet Earth now, not in the mercy and love that he is at this minute, but he's dealing with wrath. It's the day of his vengeance. It's the day that he punishes, as it were, the inhabitants of the earth, and especially we're talking about those that have sided with the Antichrist and received his mark and so forth. We found that, and we'll see it again in just a little bit. Now, before I totally leave chapter 14, I want us to see a picture in Revelation, but show you how the Bible is commentary on itself and explains itself. We'll look at some verses found in the book of Isaiah. Let's notice here in verse 18, 19, and 20 at the end of chapter 14, another angel came out from the altar which had power over fire and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in the sharp sickle that gathers the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. Sometime you hear some statement like the grapes of wrath. Well, that's biblical terminology. The crop is due. The harvest has come. It's a judgment harvest. And the typology here that's used, verse 19, and the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great wine press of the wrath of God. Now, I explained the wine press to you. We hope they still don't use the same method if we get some grape juice, but they used to stomp the grapes in a great big stone container that had a little trough hole in it, and the juice ran out, and that's the way they did the grape juice. We would assume, and knowing the Jews, I'm sure they did, they washed their feet. I wouldn't trust Gentiles too far, though. But anyway, I hope they got a better, cleaner method than that today and so forth, but that was the way they did it. Now, if you were a grape and you were in the wine press, it'd be judgment day, wouldn't it? You'd be stomped on by the feet of those that got in there. Now, that typology, that picture follows through in the Bible. So it says the wine press was trodden, verse 20, outside the city Jerusalem. And blood came out of the wine press, even under the horse bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. And it don't matter, you figure what a furlong is, but outside the city is the valley of Armageddon, not too far away. And the scripture is teaching it's going to be a bloody time. And if you want to get it right down to where we can understand it, we're talking about when the armies of earth, headed up by the United Nations, just like they would today, come to face down the invader, which is God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to be gathered, as it were, to destroy the city of Jerusalem and the Jews one final time. And they're going to get stomped on. The heavenly army, the Lord Jesus Christ, is coming back. We'll get to it in chapter 19 of Revelation. His feet's going to touch on the Mount of Olives, the Bible tells us, and that's right outside Jerusalem, outside the city. There's going to be a great earthquake. It's going to split, according to the Bible. By the way, science today tells us there's an earthquake quake fault over there right now, and fault line. They tell the story that a big restaurant motel was going to build on it and couldn't build because the fault line was there. There are fault lines. The one we hear about the most is out in California, right? But do you understand there's one right in the middle of round up where Memphis, Tennessee, Mississippi, Tennessee, those big fault line there, just like there is out in California. Somebody says, well, we don't have earthquakes in America. Just wait. Just wait. The Bible says we're going to have them. Amen. And every now and you hear about one. Go with me to Isaiah, if you would. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 63. And we're talking about this time of the wrath of God, the winepress of God being pressed outside the city. And it's God's judgment and the blood coming so high. My grandma used to have a few verses that she got out of the Bible. One of them was that the blood was going to be the horse's bridle. And I used to think as a kid, Grandma don't know what she's talking about. But Grandma did know what she was talking about, because it is what the Bible says here. Look at it. If you want to get a real picture of it, go to Isaiah chapter 63. And I'd like for you to find it so you can see. Do you understand that the books of the prophets like Isaiah, in fact, when Jesus quoted, when Jesus talked and gave verses about the awfulness of hell, do you know that he quoted a lot out of the book of Isaiah? Where the worm dieth not, it's the last verse in the 66 chapters of Isaiah. It's the last verse the Lord was referring to there when he quoted. Let's go to 63. Pick it up with me in verse 1. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? this that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. That's who it is. Gonna find out it's the Lord Jesus. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat. You know what happened to those folks that stomped on the grapes? It spattered on them. That's a good old southern term. It spattered, amen. And it got stained the clothes, and they had to gird themselves up and hold the robes up and so on. So here's the picture. Look at it in verse 2. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat. He asks the question and he gets the answer back. I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger, trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. Now, I'm not going to keep reading on it. Well, down in verse 6, I will tread down the people in mine anger. So what you have then being described in Revelation has already been predicted in the book of Isaiah. And it's a time of God's vengeance, of God's judgment, when he treads the winepress and the blood is going to come high. I don't know. I see some of the far out stuff that you see on the History Channel or some other stuff, and all kind of scary stuff. In fact, you find science preaching more scary things than preachers today, if you really follow up on it. And the good part is you and I go on past the scary part to the victory part. And that's the part we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not going to be treading on me and you that have been born again. We're saved by the blood. We don't have to worry about the blood coming to the horse's bridle. We're on the other side. We're on the winning side. But it's an awful time yet ahead. We call it the tribulation period. When we get to this trampling of the wine press, this is at the end of the trib, when judgment is fallen, when God's long-suffering and mercy has finally come to an end, when those that have trusted Christ have already been moved up to heaven with him and are coming back with him, by the way, the Bible tells us, we get to Revelation 19, in the armies of heaven, following our leader, coming back to judge the earth, to set up his kingdom. My, that's future. You say, I'm scared of the future of the stock market. So am I. I'm scared about my investments. So am I. But if you got an investment in heaven, it'll never be tampered with. You got a wonderful security in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, move on back with me down to the book of Revelation. And we finished up 14. Now we move into chapter 15, and this is going to come under the last plagues, under the vials. Now it says in chapter 15 of Revelation, I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. Now, God's fixing to finish the thing off here. It's going to be the seven angels with the seven last plagues. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Now, this is tribulation saints. This is those that come out of the tribulation period that are standing on the sea of glass up here with the Lord. They've been caught out. Now, this is a little controversial with some Bible students, but if they're caught up to the sea of glass, we find out the sea of glass is around the throne of God. And if they're caught up there and standing with the Lord, somebody had to call them out. And so while we're looking for the rapture of the church, any moment, could happen any time, this is a post-trib rapture, not of the church age, that's already gone, but of tribulation saints that have overcome the Antichrist. They have been used of God, and now they're caught up to him. See what it says. They've gotten the victory over the beast, that's the Antichrist, over his image, and over his mark. Now, that's an economic mark. We understand that, don't we? By the way, did you catch a little of the news maybe this week, last week? Did you catch, you know, they keep, a rumble keeps going about numbering everybody. Well, there's a sense we already numbered. We understand that. But now they're saying that there's a big push. In fact, somebody gave me something on it, and I've seen it in a couple of places. There's a big push right now for the administration. They're wanting to use these neutrality laws on the internet. They're wanting to get back what they call, equal time, not equal time, something else. Fairness doctrine. Thank God for Ronald Reagan, he got rid of that. Somebody said, well, he was senile while he was in office. I wish some others was as smart as him in his senility, amen? But anyway, I'd take him with his senility over what, well, I'll get off on that. Anyway, you know what dictators fear? They fear free speech. You know what they want to do is they want to stop free speech. And while there's a lot of bad on the internet, there's some good on it. And one of the good parts is the truth leaks out that they don't want to leak out every now and then. And so now what they're doing is planning to hand to the U.S. Commerce Department authority over cybersecurity to create an internet ID for Americans, a White House official said here today. Now, do you understand what that would mean? Do you know that that's just a forerunner and will be part of giving everybody a number? Now, say, well, why would they want me to have an internet ID? Well, my friend, they can trace you. They know who said what, where, and when. And you will be under Big Brother's eye, is what it amounts to. That's exactly what it's all about. And there's one or two in Congress now introducing a bill. I'm reading it right here. House Republican introduces bill to block FCC's internet grab. Now, there'll be a fight over it. I hope there's enough Americans that still love enough freedom to fight this mess. Because the whole plan is to shut up what I'm doing right now, talking over the radio waves, or talking over the internet. And as long as we have freedom of speech, some of the biggest crooks in government are a little bit fearful they're going to get exposed. But when it gets to where they can arrest you for telling the truth on them, and we're in a heap of trouble. And that's on the fence right now. That's borderline right now. And that's Bible being fulfilled. No doubt about it. When the mark and the number comes, you won't be able to buy or sell without it. And that means if you had to have an internet ID, you couldn't buy or sell over the internet or whatever. Big thing, though, is free speech, and along with so many of our other freedoms. Property rights, gun rights, you name it, all of that is what they have to take away from the citizen before they can rule the citizen. And they're doing a pretty big job of it. They use a shooting out in Arizona for all kind of lies. And one of the big ones is to control guns again. The whole thing is the guys that want to rule the people don't want the people to have a way to fight back. And yet this country was born in the revolution by common people that picked up their guns and fought off the government that was heavy-handed and imposed it on them. And that's what's feared today. Now, don't get me wrong. Your answer's not going out and creating yourself a little militia. That's not it. The answer ought to be, if there's ever overturn of American government, it'd have to come from the top down. It'd have to come with the generals in the army or something else. But in the meantime, as long as the grassroots people can be heard on radio, on a news channel, on the internet, any kind of way we can keep speaking up, that's still the best thing we've got working to keep our freedoms. And getting quiet in here, help yourself. I don't like Big Brother government. I just don't. And I don't mind saying so, and I'm glad I can still say so. And what America needs to rebuild the economy is freedom. Just turn the American citizen loose and get the rules and regulations off of them, and this economy would thrive. And that's exactly what we need. And if you're talking to Governor Scott, he's promising to do that. Encourage him. because he's going to make enemies come out of the woodwork like crazy if he tries to get some of these rules and regulations. Too many people live and draw their paycheck off the rules and regulations. And they're the ones that are one way or another scheming to get more money from the citizen all the time. Well, I got off on that, didn't I? So, but it's Book of Revelation being fulfilled is what it is. And here in chapter 15, we see very likely a post-trib rapture for these that have gotten the victory over the mark. And you find them rejoicing up here on the sea of glass in front of the Lord. And it says they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. And you can find those in the Bible. The song of the Lamb we read in chapter 5. It's the song of the redeemed by the blood. That's the gospel of grace. That's church age that we live in. But if you went all the way back to Deuteronomy, you'd find the Jewish song of Moses under the law. And so they both show up here, and I don't have time now to deal with it. We'll speak to that maybe in a little bit next week. But it's an interesting thing, as I said before, see everything culminating and coming to a point and finishing off in the book of Revelation. Even the song of Moses is brought back as you read about it in Deuteronomy and so forth. And even in the Psalms. All right, my time's up. We'll give you the report. Ask you to stay with us for the preaching.